Bless the name of Jesus. We're so happy to have you all here today worshiping at Blessed Hope Bible Church. And it is a privilege to have you in our presence. And we are here to take your prayer request. If you got a problem, inside your bulletin, you're going to find a special card. Again, Sister Sherry will be telling you about that. Fill that card out. And if you don't want to leave your name, just say, pray for me. And God will know exactly who we're referring to. Brother Harry Woods, who runs our prayer meeting on Wednesday, on Monday, and Brother Otis on Wednesday, we will pray for you. Amen. We will pray for you. We're not trying to be solicitous or patronize you. We will pray for you. And if you need to reach us as well through our website, just go to www.bhbcstl.org. That's www.bhbcstl.org. Well, today we're going to continue our series entitled A Church Built Upon the Rock. And you know, some churches are built on emotion. Some churches are built on just music. Some are built on tradition. But the true church is built on Jesus Christ. And that is the only church that's going to stand. I don't care how talented your pastor may be. I don't care how beautiful your soloist may sing. If the church is not built on Jesus Christ, the church will fall. Amen. I don't care how much money the folk got. I don't care who tithes and who don't. If the church is not established on the gospel of Jesus the Christ, not prosperity, not favor, but Jesus, amen, that church will not stand. Our scripture for this series is found in Matthew 16 and 18, which says, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But what does a church built on Christ look like? If we're looking for a church today that's built on a rock, what kind of qualities should it have? Well, number one, it needs to be a born-again church. Everybody in the church ought to be saved. It needs to be a spirit-filled church. It needs to be a praying church. It needs to be a giving church. It needs to be an evangelistic church. It needs to be a growing church. Amen. It needs to also be a Bible church. That's what you look for when you're talking about a church built on the rock, a church built upon Jesus Christ. It is a born-again church, a spirit-filled church, a praying church, a giving church, an evangelistic church, a growing church, and a Bible church. Now, the last time that we got together, we talked about what it means to have a born-again church. And a born-again church is one in which its members have experienced the new birth. It understands and teaches the doctrine of salvation. And it models the new birth experience in every aspect of ministry, in its in-reach and in its outreach ministries. It models the new birth experience. We're not a corporation. We don't do things like a business does because we're not a business. We don't have any stockholders. And Jesus is not the CEO of the church. You say, why not? Because you can fire the CEO. Amen. Amen. But you can't fire Jesus. Amen. He's the owner of the church. You can't fire the owner. Amen? Amen. He's not the CEO of the church. He's not the CEO of your life. He is not in a position where he can be terminated. He earned his position, and he's going to keep it with or without you. Amen. Bless the Lord. And today we're going to look at the Spirit-filled church. In fact, this month we're going to look at the Spirit-filled church because we got a lot of notions and a lot of stuff going on about what it means to be Spirit-filled and how to experience the Spirit-filled life. And you got a lot of talk out there. A lot of folk teaching things about what it means to be spirit-filled. And I want to start by saying this. My goal is not to be controversial. I am not here to speak in a divisive way or in a way that would put down another denomination's belief system. I'm here to back up whatever we talk about with the Word of God. Because nobody holds a monopoly on the Word. Amen. We don't need to be talking about this denomination and that. Talk about yourself. Make sure that your calling and election is sure. You worried about folks speaking in tongues. You better make sure you got something too now. You got true salvation. Don't worry about all of this. There's a lot of talk. But we want to be clear, definitive, and direct without being offensive. See, that's easy to be offensive. We can easily talk about what somebody else is doing, but what does the Word demand of us? What does the Bible teaches us concerning the Spirit-filled life? That's what we're going to concern ourselves with this morning. You know, if you go down the highway and you leave Blessed Hope and you go to 10 different churches and you ask the pastors and leaders and members what it means to be Spirit-filled, you're going to get 10 different points of view. You're going to get this view. You're going to get that view. You go to 10 different churches. They could even be of the same denomination and the same, how would we say, doctrinal cloth. And you will still get differences of what it means to be Spirit-filled within the same denomination. So we want to appeal to the Word of God and understand what really constitutes a Spirit-filled church. So there are three qualities we're going to look at. There are many, but we're going to look at three of them. Number one, a Spirit-filled church, that is Spirit-filled, there is life-changing worship. A Spirit-filled church is one that has life-changing worship. Number two, there is unity among the saints. No cliques, no drama, no theater, just love. Say, Pastor, where is that found? Read all of 1 John. Number three, the fruit of the Spirit is manifested. When you're in a Spirit-filled church, you see the manifestation of the Spirit. Regrettably, we've gotten really, really confused about these manifestations. Amen. And we need to fix that. But today I want us to really focus on this idea of Spirit-filled, life-changing worship. What is life-changing worship? Well, number one, we need to understand who we're worshiping. We serve a God who is a Spirit. He is dynamic instead of static. Now, what does that mean? That means that he is not somebody who can be kept in your denominational box. Our God is a dynamic, living, moving Spirit. And he is eternal. He cannot die. He cannot lie. He cannot sin. He cannot fail. So when you're serving somebody like that, you must serve him based on how he is composed. Well, what is he composed of? Of Spirit. So how do you have to serve him? With your Spirit. Not with your flesh. You have to serve him with your Spirit. Jesus puts it this way when he met this woman at the well. In John chapter 4, he tells her that God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. In fact, to worship is to enter into the presence of God. And once you have had an encounter with God, you'll never be the same. And let's not get into form and formality. Amen. There are so many churches that are fighting each other over whether or not they can just lift up their hands, whether or not it's okay to have drums, whether or not we can have praise dance, whether or not we can pantomime, all of this stuff. Should we be rapping in church and this in church and that in church? It is not about form. Amen. It is about your motivations. Worship can be contemplative. It can be quiet. If the person next to you is not standing up like you, leave them alone. Because you don't know what's going on the inside of them. They might be contemplating how good God is. Some folk like to worship. They're not into all of this. They're not like that. They're not cut from that cloth. And it is not your job to tell them to be something they're not. So if you say stand up on your feet and they don't stand, don't roll your eyes at them. Just let them praise them in their own way. They ain't got to praise them like you. It's not about form. You up here selling tickets. It's not about that, honey. It's about Jesus. And so, well, they call us the frozen chosen. You don't know what frozen is. Just because I'm sitting still don't mean I don't love Jesus. Who told you what's going on in my heart? I want to meet them. Yeah, I want to meet who told you that I don't love Jesus because I ain't doing what you doing. That's a problem we got in church today. My neighbor jumped. Well, let me jump. I don't want to look left out. Be yourself. Do yourself and God a favor. Be you. Amen? Amen. Just be yourself. Be real. I don't feel like praising him. Then sit down, honey, and just go for the ride. But don't get in my way. Okay, you, yeah, go ahead and sit, but excuse me, don't stop me. When I want to lift up my hands, amen. We just need a little clarification, a little understanding. Amen. I remember the movie Cool Hand Luke, and amen. Y'all remember that movie? Yes, you do. And the sheriff says to Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate. We don't have that failure in the church. Amen. You can be as lively as you want, and that's you. Amen. See, in the church, there is liberty. Liberty to sit and liberty to stand. Liberty to clap and liberty to fold your arms. Amen. Come on, get that in your spirit. It's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. When we worship God, we need to understand what it means to be in His presence. And true worship that invokes the presence of God changes the worshiper. Let me say that again. True worship that invokes the presence of God changes, transforms the worshiper. And a church built upon the rock engages in life-changing worship. Because if you go to church and your life is no different than it was after church, you didn't worship. Because you cannot enter into the presence of God, leave the presence of God, and not be the same. That's not possible. That's not possible. I remember this fella, and in fact, he had a nickname. His name was Legion. He had so many devils. But when he got into the presence of God, he was changed. Now, if somebody with a whole bunch of devils gets into the presence of God and they're transformed, how much more should the saints be transformed after they have enjoyed the presence of the Lord? And we have got to get to the place where we understand that worship is not just about presentation. Now, you ought to do your best. Let's be real about this. But don't just make doing your best all there is. Amen. 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 If you got a $75 shirt and a $25 shirt, wear the $75 one to church. Now, that's an analogy. What I'm saying is bring your best to church. And then, yeah, and then when you get home to watch the football game, you so tired, you can't praise the team because you've been praising already. Yo, you can only do so much worship. Oh, y'all not here. I see you. All right, there it is. I got to save something for who? Somebody who's subject to lose without notice? Hey, how about praising a winner today? You saving what for who? Amen. And when it comes to basketball, ain't nobody in here got nothing on me as a fan. I understand what it's like to talk to the TV, but let me talk to Jesus first. Let me give it up for Jesus first. Amen. Hallelujah. I know the Cleveland Cavaliers have lost their last two, but just wait. They'll be all right. Don't worry about it. But I'm going to save some for them later. But right now, I'm putting it all on the line for Jesus, and they'll get what's left. And if there's nothing left, that's what they'll get. Hallelujah. Life-changing worship changes the worshiper. When you have entered into the presence of God, there's a change in your attitude, a change in your priorities, a change in your behavior brought on by the Holy Spirit. Some of us might say something a little like this: I used to smoke and drink until I worshiped. I used to mess around until I worshiped. I used to lie, cheat, and steal until I worshiped. I used to do a little drugs until I worshiped. I used to watch pornography until I worshiped. I used to run with the wrong crowd until I worshiped. When you worship God, you got to understand, we serve a God who's not all about volume and emotion. He's all about breaking the yokes of sin in your life. Church today has become so intoxicated with the how of worship. I'm not sure if we're worshiping God or if we're worshiping worship. We have fallen in love with the experience of worship. And we have forgotten the one who is to be worshiped, the object of our worship. And it's all about presentation. I love presentation. I do my fair share. Amen. But understand, it's not all about that. Hallelujah. You go to church and you participate in the worship service and there is no change in your life, you've wasted your time. See, I don't tell people I go to church on Sunday. I worship on Sunday. I don't go to church. I worship. Why? Because that's what I'm about. Anybody can go to church, but you have to be in love with Jesus to worship. Amen. You got to be in love with Jesus to worship. That's why John says, can't nobody call on Jesus and say he's the Son of God unless it's by the Spirit of God. You can't just up and say, oh, I love Jesus, and you really don't. And he knows it. You ain't faking him out. Amen. You're not doing like my old boy Tim Hardaway when he did the Hardaway crossover. You're not going to dribble around him with your little fake praise. It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. Hallelujah. I was watching LaDainian Thomas, right? Amen. Last night. And he did something with his body. And I'm sitting there like this. He almost faked me out. I'm sitting there still, and he jerked, and I go, oh, my goodness. And the guy nearly broke his ankle. He was like this. Well, some of us think we can do that to God. You can't fake God out. If you go praise him, you might as well praise him from the inside out, because that's where the change comes. God is not interested in nothing but your heart changing towards him. And here's the goal, folks. It is to yield that heart to God. He does the change. You present yourself to Jesus the right way with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and he will do the rest, because you don't have the power to change. But he'll change you if you want it. Yeah, he'll change you if you want to be changed. So when you walk out of worship, after you've experienced praise and worship and you've experienced the word and the Spirit of God has moved on your behalf, you walk out of here, you ought to be different than when you came in here in some fashion, some manner. Something has changed in you. Come on, church, talk back to me. Something has happened. I don't go to church because I'm okay. I go to church because I need a fix. I need a little help. Amen. Amen. You sound like an addict. I am an addict. So what you mean you're an addict? I'm addicted to sin. I'm addicted to self. No, you the pastor, and I'm an addict. Amen. I'm an addict. You say, well, pastor, you shouldn't be pastoring. You know what? I shouldn't be living. I mean, how much of my story do you want, honey? You shouldn't be preaching. I shouldn't be here. If you had the time to listen to that story. Really? Uh-huh. But because of his grace. See, this is the way Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2. But I remember Pastor Marlon states, he got up and read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And then he said, but God. Y'all remember that verse 5? But God. You know, he reading along and ye has he quickened, da, da, da. And then he gets down about verse 5. But God, who is rich in grace because of the mercy by which he loved us. By grace are ye saved. That's why I'm here, because of God's grace. And I'm not here to go home the way I came. I came here because I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be better. I don't want to be the same Pastor Jeff that started this road on January 1st. I want to be different. I don't want to be that Pastor Jeff who was just here last night on Halloween. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. That's why I worship. I don't worship to sell tickets to you. I worship because God is good. And I know that it is the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. What yoke? Whatever yoke that is in your life. People call me, oh, pastor, this is going. When the last time you've been to church? When the last time you've been to prayer meeting? When the last time you opened your Bible? When the last time you prayed with your kid? When the last time you went to Wednesday night Bible study? When's the last time? See, you got to work this thing. Where y'all at? You got to work Christianity. That's why there are so many agricultural paradigms and parables that are used to describe it. You can't just say, look at this big old field and ain't put no seed in it. You got to work this thing. And you will get out of Christianity what you put in it. Man, I tried that Jesus stuff and it didn't work because you didn't try it. See, somebody lying somewhere. And my Bible says, let all men be called a lie, but let God be true. You didn't try this. I once heard a guy say, I was born again about 4 or 5 times. Brother, you were never saved. Yeah, I was born again about 4 or 5 times, and that didn't work, so I went to drinking. Huh, brother, you always was a drunk. You never got saved. You're a drunk because you want to be a drunk. You didn't get that yoke broken. Or get up and talk about, I got saved, 4 or 5 times. I went to drinking. Huh, you was always drinking. Because I'm reminded in the Word of God, these words, oh, taste and see. That the Lord is good. Oh, come on. How many of you know no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly? You don't serve a God who can't uphold his end of the bargain. If he said he will deliver you, honey, deliverance is on the way. If he is the helper of the helpless, don't you know that help is on the way? I like this verse that Dorinda Carter likes to quote. When my life is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When the floods of life are raging, show me the way. He's able, folks. Y'all don't have to mess around with this thing. He's a yoke breaker. He's a yoke breaker. Well, how do you know when the yoke of sin is broken in your life? How can you know if you're truly filled with the Spirit? Many today confuse being Spirit-filled and being filled with emotion. And they don't know if they're ecstatic or if they're Spirit-filled. And we've confused the two. Oh, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with your emotion for God. In fact, if Jesus doesn't cause the tears to fall from your eyes, nothing will. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. If Jesus and the cross. Oh, you looking at the cross as if it's just a cross. That's not what the thief did. Which side of the cross are you on? There were two dying thieves. Which one are you? The cross isn't here to get you out of trouble. It's here to get you out of hell. My Lord, how do you know that you are Spirit-filled? And let me tell you, you're not going to get Spirit-filled on TV. Yes, you will. No, you won't. That's on tape delay. And what I'm trying to say is this. Don't touch your TV if somebody tells you to. And expect the television to touch you back. I mean, have you lost your mind? There is help for that, you know. And if someone says that they have a handkerchief for you, because they heard in the Bible that Paul had laid some handkerchiefs on some folk, and they want to exalt themselves like Paul, honey, go to Macy's or Walmart. Get you some handkerchiefs. I mean, if it's like that with you. We got to be careful. Because there's a lot of strange and erroneous teaching that seeks to foment our emotion and get us caught up in some stuff that will not change us. And you need to understand something, beloved. You are your own worst enemy. You up here rebuking the devil when you need to rebuke yourself. You are your own worst enemy. The devil ain't thinking about you. You belong to God. Oh, the devil, he oppressing me. And you got the Holy Ghost? Please tell me how that's possible. My Bible teaches this, that nobody can come in to your life unless they're stronger than the one who's in your life. Well, the devil's on my case. Well, I thought greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What do you mean the devil's on your case? And who's in your heart? Amen. See, we got to get rid of some things. Amen. Some of it is nothing but snake oil. That's all it is snake oil theology. Try this elixir. It will heal HIV, H1N1. It will heal all these things. Won't do nothing. Now let me say something a little bit though about my friend Father Johns. You might want to take that though. That's all right. You have to be 50 to hear to understand. Young people are like, what? What he talking about? John the Baptist, what he? Father John. It's in the very corner of the pharmacy. They might have about 3 bottles left. Get you one. I can't talk against that. That'll kill whatever you got. If it don't kill you, it'll kill what you got. There are 5 ways that you can know you're spirit-filled. Write these down, or you can pick this up online when the sermon is placed on the internet. There are 5 things that you can know that will tell you that you're spirit-filled. Listen carefully. Number 1, a willingness to put away sin. A willingness to put away sin. When Jesus met the woman at the well, she put away her water pots and became a preacher. You say, well, what does that have to do with putting away sin? She was working on her 6th relationship. And she became God's messenger. Number 1, a willingness to put away sin. Number 2, a love for the Word of God. See, when you love the Word of God, when the Spirit of God is filling you, don't nobody have to tell you to read your Bible. Amen. To know Jesus is to love Him. And it's not a chore where you, man, I hate reading my Bible. Then you need to get something going on. You need to check that thing you call salvation. I used to go to one of these churches where the saints, they would shout, shout, shout. I'd get up and get my Bible, and then the choir would walk out. Sister done sang a solo, done shouted through her back out, and she walking, doing this thing with the finger. I don't know what it is. I've never known what this means with a finger or 2 fingers or 3. They're doing something, you know. I thought they worked for vaudeville. I don't know what they're doing. What's going on? What's up with the finger thing? Oh, it means excuse me. Excuse me. I never understood it. I'm like, where is that in the Bible? And why didn't you excuse yourself from the song service? Oh, did I? Watch your feet. Watch your feet. Watch your feet. Yeah, watch those toes. Dr. Scholes will do it. Listen, why didn't you excuse yourself then? See, you wait for the offering and the word. And you got this thing. All right. Love for the word. Number 3, a desire to share Christ with others. I know some of us are not wired to be outgoing, but you can share him in your own way. I encourage you to do that. And let me say this to those of you who hear that you should be witnessing and witnessing and witnessing. Not if you can't. Let me be fair about this. If you're not comfortable sharing Jesus, here's a piece of advice. Don't. Amen. Huh? What did he say? I said, if you're not comfortable Sharing Jesus. Don't come up in my face not knowing what you should say to me. This is a little difficult for me, but I just feel compelled. You done lost that. You see, I'm gone. Now I got to work on you. Well, why? Are you okay? See, No, if you got to be, No. Share Christ in your own way, and the Spirit will lead you how to do that. And if the pastor give you a stack of tracts and tracts don't work for you, give them back. Say, Pastor, I'm not ready. It's okay. Amen. We're wired differently. Come on, y'all. Number four, sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. A spirit-filled person is a giving person. You say, money? No, I'm talking about living everything. Time, treasure, and talent. You give all of that. And number five, a desire to fellowship with other believers. You want to be here because you want to be here. And people can hurt your feelings and you'll come back. See, that's spirit-filled right there. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't go to church. I don't mind saying it because it's the truth. Listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be up in here, y'all. Amen? We can even forget about heaven if it wasn't for Jesus. Because sometimes the church is such a mess. I don't even know if I want to go with some of these folks. And you know, you can put that on the side. Oh, you going to be there too? Let me think this over. Oh, can we have some fun, y'all? Because there's some pretty hurtful people in church. And you go to church and they are so abrasive and arrogant and uptight and toxic and dysfunctional. They're just as mean as they could be. They roll your eyes. It's as if you don't belong. And the blood of Jesus worked for you just like it worked for me. And all these silly little cliques running around in the house of God. You must have lost y'all mind. Ain't nothing about that. Spirit-filled people want to be around other spirit-filled people. And I enjoy the saints. I hang around more with Blessed Hope than I do my own family, not immediate, but my extended family. I would love to do a retreat just for all of us to get away and enjoy each other. One of the highlights of 2008 was when 28 men of this church got together and left St. Louis. Amen. To hang out. Amen. That was the highlight of my year. Playing basketball on broken knees and all that other foolishness and getting beat at ping pong. Pastor States killed me. And it was all in good fun. When you're around church people who love Jesus, you have a good time. Why? Because they spirit-filled. Listen, the Spirit of God, you can't duplicate Him or imitate Him. You can have all kinds of special effects, gimmicks, and hype, but the Spirit is not about a hype. It's about hope. It's about holiness. It's about love and humility. And if you're tired, I want to talk to tired people today. Lift your hands if you're tired. Hallelujah. If you're tired of the same old life and you're ready for a transformation, try Jesus. He will break the yoke of sin in your heart and in your life. If you're looking at last Sunday saying, I want the Lord to work in my heart this Sunday, you need to try Him today. You need to try Him right now. Bow your heads with us.